happy holidays from the Real Football Fans of New Jersey. We hope you enjoy this holiday-themed episode as we gear up for Christmas and the end of the year. Fill up those wine glasses and maybe this time fill it up with some eggnog. Well, hello there, everybody. Happy holidays. The merry bells keep ringing. I had to remember the lyric.
Happy holidays to you.
Welcome to the Real Football Fans of New Jersey. This is episode, what episode are we on? 185? Woohoo! We are so close to 200. We are inching our way forward. This will probably be, we'll definitely do an episode next week. So you have us two more times before 2022. Holy guacamole. I cannot believe 2022 is around the corner. Week 16 of the NFL is around the corner. Where has the time gone?
Well, I want to say that granted, our logo is the same and we post it all the time, right? On all our social media platforms. But the other day I was looking at it and on the wine bottle, it says established 2017, which I know, but like I was looking at it the other day and I'm like, how crazy does that look now?
I know.
We're becoming vintage wine now.
I was going to say we're aging like fine wine. We have a nice little shout out on the YouTube. Merry Christmas to you guys. Oh, happy holidays. Whatever you guys are celebrating, we hope you guys just have a phenomenal time right now with your family, your friends. Stay inside, grab a glass of wine. It's our holiday episode though. So grab some eggnog, grab some,
I got Bud Light holiday seltzies in the fridge.
Oh, all right. Grab a Bud Light holiday seltzy. I think my boyfriend was drinking the other night, like a week or two ago. It was like this elf beer, but it was like a 10% beer. It was one of those crate.
Oh, I know what it is. Is it Trogues Mad Elf?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a big like label buyer, like buys things because of how the label looks. Thought they looked cool. Then it's like the realization, like, oh shit, it's a 10%.
Yeah, I think it's a Trogues Mad Elf.
Yes. So grab a Mad Elf, grab whatever you need, maybe throw some liquor into, I don't know, maybe make a hot toddy into hot chocolate, whatever you guys need to get pumped up to watch us tonight, listen to us later on if you are listening on our podcast. But as always, thank you guys for tuning in live. We did just have a shout out on YouTube. I do have to do my disclaimer of if you're watching us on Twitter, thank you so much. We love you guys. We love our Twitter followers, our Twitter fan base. If you want to engage with us though, you either have to reply to the tweet so I can see it, or you got to bump over to YouTube so I can see you guys talking to us, asking us questions, making comments, anything you guys want to do. So just keep that in mind. Let's go ahead and get started. We're going to start with Q&A. So we pulled a couple of questions from you guys. Thank you, as always, for submitting them. We pulled three that we really liked. excuse me. It tickled my throat. But obviously, ask us questions throughout the show if you definitely want to engage with us. So let's start with the first one. So this is an interesting one in regards to the NFL right now. And I guess it's really how this season played out because it normally does happen, but it seems like it's a lot this season. Mm-hmm. So do you like the backloading of division games at the end of the season? And to really put this, you know, more into perspective. Obviously, yes, you always see divisional games at the end of the season, but this year we're seeing upwards of three divisional games for teams at the end of the season. Some teams, I think it's the Jags, the Jets, and the Dolphins, they're the only teams that have one divisional game at the end of the season.
I want to say it was Washington or Philly that like their last five games of the regular season were going to be against the division, which is just absolutely
right. And we've got the three. So we're in the three group. So we do it with Dallas and then we're coming to Philly and then we'll have Washington as the last game. So I got to be honest, like it does seem like very much overkill this year. And obviously we're on a 17 week season. So we got that extra game. It does seem like a lot. Because near the end of the season, you have injuries. So it's like, if these are crucial divisional games for you, that kind of sucks. And then you throw COVID into the mix this year. We obviously saw this past week. We had a huge wrench thrown into things with COVID. We had two Tuesday night games, people. Like, that's unheard of. So a lot goes into the mix. So I think it's a little much, and I'm not a huge, huge fan of it.
I can't say I'm a fan of it. I can't say I dislike it either. I've always loved that, the final week of the regular season is a lot of division matchups, because there's nothing better than it used to be a 16 game season when week 16, there's two teams playing each other in the division and it's for the division title. I mean, nothing is more exciting. So I don't feel the need to have two or three or four division games in a row. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't necessarily bother me. I will always enjoy week 16 when they match up against each other and they fight for that division crown. That always makes things very exciting to end the regular season.
Absolutely. All righty. The second question is kind of boo-hoo, too bad, so sad question. But why does God hate Buccaneers fans? Obviously, I think, you're coming off of a heartbreaking, what was it, a 9-0 game you couldn't even get into the end zone. I understand that. But listen, God does not hate you. You won a Super Bowl. You brought back every single player on your team. That is unheard of.
Tom Brady is your quarterback.
Tom Brady is your quarterback. Bruce Arians is your coach. I don't want to hear the I don't want to hear the wambulance. I really don't. So call it if you're going to cry, but I'm not taking your tears.
Listen, if God hates Buccaneers fans, then how does he feel about Jets fans, Lions fans, Browns fans?
Giants fans?
No, you can't even throw them in the mix. I'm talking about teams that have either some of them have never even won a Super Bowl. Some of them haven't won in 3 or 4 decades. You know what I'm saying? So
spoiled fans. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Very,
indeed.
Very. Boo freaking who.
Yeah.
And honestly, I understand. So I know we're not diving into, because there's just too many injuries, but also the COVID list for this upcoming week is insane as well.
Oh, it's 2 pages long.
It's too much. We can't possibly go through the whole thing. But obviously, potentially God hating Bucks fans, it is a huge loss, losing Chris Godwin. He suffered a pretty bad injury in that game. This isn't the time for injuries for any team, especially to, star players on your team. I think the Bucks are going to be fine.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, as long as you have Tom Brady, you'll always be okay. So it is very unfortunate, but they're still in a position to potentially win a Super Bowl, as are many other teams right now. But many other teams already know that they're going to be sitting on the couch for the playoffs. You are in a position to potentially win back-to-back championships. So I don't want to hear it.
Yep. The Jags, are probably.
That's that one. That is a sad bunch. That is a sad bunch.
We are definitely sad for them.
Yes. Could be worse.
All righty, a holiday drink question. Eggnog or hot chocolate? And to keep it fair, we'll keep it non-alcoholic. So
I was trying to remember if and when I ever had eggnog. And I want to say I was in college when I tried it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember liking it. And I'm definitely going to go hot chocolate on this one. I'm a hot chocolate fan.
I love eggnog, regular eggnog. It is really good. And I think
you drink it cold with ice.
Not with ice, just cold. It has to be cold. Yeah, okay. So it's honestly like a glass of milk, but I really like eggnog. So I think it's good.
So you buy the mix from the store?
No, they have it pre-made. Yeah, it's in a carton. It's a milk carton.
Have you ever tried to drink it with alcohol?
So I've had a pre-made alcoholic version. It's not bad. It's got a kick to it, but it's one of those things. It's like, think about like a white Russian. You can't have more than, you know what I mean? Yeah. More than one. So you just kind of have to like sip it and enjoy it. And you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm done for the night. But even like the same with like a non-alcoholic eggnog, you still can only have like a glass. But I actually really like the taste. I've always liked eggnog. I think my family's always thought I was super weird for that because it is an acquired taste. I think it's good. And I think the way you make it with, like, I think it's made with rum.
I think rum, probably.
I think it's rum.
I'm not against trying it again. I would like to try an alcoholic version of it with, like, sprinkled cinnamon in it. Because I'm a big cinnamon fan.
It does have, like, a cinnamony, like, kick to it. Okay, it definitely does. So
I would like to try it again. Maybe I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah. So just a couple comments on here, just with the injury to Godwin. So it was definitely a very hard thing to watch there. So yeah, that definitely sucks. And then, you know, hot chocolate with some bourbon in it.
I've never had alcoholic hot chocolate.
Yeah. And then eggnog plain, but just in a glass. Yeah. You just got to have like one glass of it. You can't get like,
try it again. I think if I'm going to try it again though, I want an alcoholic version of it.
Yeah, I've always looked up like how to make it, and like it's kind of like gross how to make it, but that's why I like the made one.
It's with eggs.
It's with eggs. It is. So I don't know, but it is. Both of them are good. I don't know if I've ever had an alcoholic hot chocolate now that I think about it. I don't know. I kind of like, I want to put like a peppermint something in it, maybe like a schnapps. You know what I mean? It's like an espresso martini, and I love espresso martinis. I make a great espresso martini. So maybe I'll have to learn how to turn that into
We got to taste test spiked eggnog and spiked hot chocolate.
Okay, we can do that. We can get that on the list of things to do for one of our episodes. So we can definitely do that. So as always, so great, great questions as we move into the rest of our episode. If you have any questions for us, we are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter right now. If you're on Twitter, please just tweet at us directly any questions you may have. If you want to bump over to YouTube, we've got some great engagement on YouTube so far. So go ahead and ask us questions, leave comments. Same thing with Facebook. Go ahead and directly do that. All right, let's get into the rest of the episode, people.
Let's do it. Big stories of the week in the world of football. I don't personally think this news story was that surprising. No. I definitely expected it at least to happen at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But we have a head coach firing. Mr. Urban Meyer is out as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last Wednesday night, he was fired after going 2-11 in his first year with the team. Jacksonville offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel will be the interim head coach for the rest of the season. Jacksonville owner Shad Khan said in regards to Meyer, "As I stated in October, regaining our trust and respect was essential, and regrettably, it did not happen." Obviously, I think that was kind of in regards back in October to the video surfacing of Urban Meyer like out partying with not his wife rubbing up against him.
Not his wife. Disclaimer.
Not his wife. And, you know, you definitely have been hearing about rumblings going on in that locker room. Players not respecting him. Players thinking that he's a joke.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not what you want. So days before the firing, Meyer delivered a biting message to his assistant coaches in a team meeting, telling them all that he himself is a winner and they are losers.
Okay.
That's good. That's a good way to
run. Okay. Real good, leadership there. I like that.
Good. Very good. There was also a report about disputes with him and wide receiver Marvin Jones and running back James Robinson, obviously, you know, two of the big faces for that franchise. And also kicker Josh Lambeau, who alleged that Urban Meyer had kicked him during a preseason practice. There was a whole story with that one.
I can't.
Urban Meyer denied everything that was brought up. And Jacksonville can basically begin interviewing new head coaching candidates as soon as December 28th, based on a new resolution that was just passed at the Winter League meeting. Jacksonville has now had four different head coaches since 2012. I think as Giants fans, we can sort of understand what that's like. Certainly we've been going through head coaches as well. Who knows what the future is with Joe Judge. it's hard. It's hard when you like just recycle coaches like that in and out, and you kind of, and it's the same thing with quarterbacks. Like it's hard to get into a groove and really put a culture in place in your locker room. And also like when you switch coaches too, especially like coordinators as well, now you've got players needing to learn new offense, needing to learn a new defense. It's just, it's not good, but I completely understand this firing. It needed to happen.
It was needed. It was
everything that I've heard about what's been going on in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer is like, this is a joke. And to be honest with you, when the hire was made, I didn't think much of it. I didn't think it was going to be a successful match. I really didn't.
And how can you trust a guy that brings on Tim Tebow for shits and giggles? Like there, I didn't trust him from day one.
Yeah. And you know what? Like I almost, and granted Jacksonville doesn't get a lot of primetime games. You don't see their games on television. So that doesn't help. But like you almost forget, at least I do, that like Trevor Lawrence exists and that he's playing in the National Football
League. He's a non, it's a non-conversation. He's not
the first overall pick. You got the game-changing quarterback, and like absolutely nothing has happened.
He's not a conversation in the NFL right now. No, he's not, and that's embarrassing. Zach Wilson is getting more conversation. And I understand we're from New York, so maybe people can have some bias there. But media, he's getting more conversation than Trevor Lawrence. Like, you put those names.
Like, think about the hype that that kid's name had going into the draft. And he's just completely forgotten at this point.
Doing absolutely nothing. Like, they're scoring 0 points in games, multiple games. They're doing nothing. They're doing absolutely nothing.
As our viewers said, it's rough being a Jags fan right now.
It is, for sure. So we do have an interesting question. On YouTube, and it is a Giants question. So, and it's definitely, it's a loaded one, obviously. So if you guys were owners of the Giants, you bring back Gettleman as well as Joe Judge. So I know my answer for this, and I don't want Gettleman to come back. You know, we saw like near the end of Jerry Reese's career that it was just dwindling out of control, and you got to get rid of him. I think Gettleman made some good decisions for the Giants and good players, some of them, but just, I think it's time to move on. In regards to Joe Judge, I've been very, very intrigued and sometimes upset with his play calling this year and his decision-making. I think he's awful at time management. But like you had just said before, of the Giants feeling the Jags' pain of going through coaching, if the Giants truly want to rebuild this team, Joe Judge actually has the locker room. These guys want to play for him, and they want to play for the New York Giants. I say you keep Joe Judge one more year, because if we go through the process of getting another head coach, what if the next guy is fucking Ben McAdoo again? I can't deal with that shit. So I say Joe Judge stays. And I know it's a very – this question is a very heated one in general. You go on Giants Twitter and the world, it's a fire out there. Everyone, every man for themselves. But that is just – my true thought on it is that we need to keep him in order to stabilize for the growth that everyone wants to see. So,
yeah, Gettleman's not staying. No. I would be stunned if that man kept his job. Gettleman is going to get fired.
I agree.
And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. It hasn't worked out, plain and simple. Joe Judge, I agree with you as well, Kate. I'd like to give him at least one more year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. It's tough, like, not giving some of these guys more of a chance. Mm-hmm. And I have liked a lot that I've seen from Joe Judge. And I like his style. And I like to see, like, who he seems as a person. I know, like, his first year, like, I felt like he was the first guy that kind of really reminded us of Coach Coughlin.
I agree.
So, I liked his attitude.
You didn't hate his guts. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I
feel like a lot of the other guys, like, have not been like Coughlin at all. And then all of a sudden, like, there was something about Joe Judge where it's because he's very old school. He's got a very old school mentality. And of course, that's, you know, Tom Coughlin. And I'd like to see him get at least one more year. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Gettleman's out for sure. And I think everybody's okay.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tricky, we're in a very tricky situation right now. Very tough it's a very tough year. So we just kind of got to see what happens for the next couple games in the off season. And we move on to 2022. So, all right, so let's move into our week 15 thoughts. So just a couple of things here. So Kansas City tight end, Travis Kelce, he's actually now on the COVID list, which is a big break.
That's
for them.
A laundry list, people.
And oh, it's two pages.
This is a very crucial time for those of you who are still playing fantasy football. Some of you are in your semifinals, your championship games. You need to do your due diligence because the amount of make sure that your bench is good and that you've got good people waiting to go, because you might have to make last minute swaps right before game time. This is a laundry list of players that are on the COVID list right now.
Just had to put this on here right quick because I do love putting Eagles fans on the spot. But this Eagles fan thinks Joe Judge is the best coach in the NFC East. So
I like Ron Rivera. I'm a fan of Ron Rivera.
He's another old school guy that I think we can like get behind as well. Yeah. And then I think a Giants fan just commented back saying over Ron Rivera.
So. I would say that I think Ron Rivera is the best coach in the division.
Yeah. So, alrighty. So Travis Kelce did have a game winning 34-yard receiving touchdown in overtime to beat the Chargers 34-28. So talk about end of the season, like really good, like winning a game winners here. So very exciting. Miami people, you shot them down the first couple games of the season. You shot my boy Tua down, but they are on a 6-game winning streak, people. They are just knocking teams out left and right. And I understand, yes, of course, they've played some probably bad teams over the past, but they're doing big things. They're putting up numbers for sure. So this is the first time since 2016 that they've done this. And the win last week was 34-24 over the New York Jets. I'm a little surprised that actually the Jets with Miami's defense, I'm surprised the Jets were able to get 24 points on them. So
yeah,
but still a W for Miami. And listen, Miami's just moving along here. So I love this next game. I loved it. It's funny because
I didn't. This was my luck.
I know. And as the game kept like inching on, I was like, ooh, Katie. But it was probably many people's luck.
This was the nation's luck.
It was the name. It was probably, it was international. It was everyone was thinking about this. But the Detroit Lions upset the Arizona Cardinals, not just upset them in like a game winner. They beat them 30-12. Like they really beat them. But I love it. I loved seeing it. So, so that was a good one, but everyone needs to understand now Jared Goff is on the COVID list. So as Katie said before, I don't know who posted it on Twitter, like an hour ago, hour or two ago. It's 2 pages long. So you got it tells you the team and who's on it. So you got it. The Giants actually are cleared from it.
I read it say. I think you can find it on NFL.com. Yeah, I just love how this past week I get my upset correct and my lock wrong. Gotta love that.
You gotta love it. So
by the way, quick little sidebar. I'm very proud of myself. 2 weeks ago, I went 12 out of 14 on my picks. And this past week, I went 12 out of 16.
Okay.
4 out of 30 over the last 2 weeks. So, you know, you guys can all laugh at me for that Arizona-Detroit game. Y'all had it. America had it. But I've been doing really well on my picks lately.
I feel like I have not been. So I it's been a tough season for me, I think, pick-wise. So, but it's okay. It's totally fine. I was actually scrolling through my phone earlier, and I'm looking forward to doing this when the season's done, when we did our record prediction. So I was just, like, looking at stuff, and I saw one of the pictures pop up. I didn't look at it because I didn't want to spoil it. But when the season's done, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, how
– it's so fascinating.
Yeah, it very much is. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But because we do actually all have them. We have the receipts this year. So we can actually, we do. All right. So we're already getting some clinchers here. Green Bay, they clinched the NFC North. They beat Baltimore 31-30. So this was a definitely a controversial move here. And I actually tweeted about it and I went back and forth with some people on Twitter. So Baltimore could have taken the game into overtime, but they actually tried to win the game with a 2-point conversion at the end of regulation. So they obviously did not get it. You know, note again, too, if you weren't watching, someone just commented about our onesies. Listen, don't talk about that. We love our onesies. So that's okay. Kate and I are matching sign on purpose. We didn't, this wasn't, woo, we love our Giants onesies. So I had just tweeted out, my thought process was that this game was actually very competitive back and forth. It was a very competitive game. Lamar Jackson's out. You got your backup quarterback in for Baltimore. He played a hell of a game. He really did. Like, it was a very good game on both ends of the field. Like, really, really good game. And Justin Tucker is your kicker. Keep the competition up. Take it to overtime. I love that Baltimore, you know, Harborough was like, you know, let's, you know, go for it. Like, I like the ballsiness, but like, when you're playing such a competitive game with Green Bay and like, you didn't just like win it at the end, like the whole game was competitive, like kick the extra point and go to overtime.
So I agree with you. I would have sent it into overtime. I think, you know, Baltimore is on a little bit of a losing streak right now, and that division is insanely close. All four teams could still win the division right now. And they really needed the win. I would have gone into overtime, and I get, if you really need the win, maybe try and go for the 2-point conversion. In my mind, I think John Harbaugh was like, okay, if we lose this coin toss and the ball goes to Aaron Rodgers first, he could just win the game right there and we'll never get a shot at it. And I think that's what he was worried
about. That's what everyone's argument was too on Twitter. But that's why my counter is that, but the game was competitive. So yeah, the Ravens defense could have stopped him. And I understand.
Yeah, but I 100% think that's what happened and that's why he made that decision.
Agree. Alrighty. So then this is what we spoke about before, but the Saints did upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a whopping 9-0 score. Ooh, like those scores, like get the hell out of here. We don't want to see them in football, but we can't talk because the Giants are the New York field goal Giants. So we don't really get many points on the board. So this is the first time that Tom Brady has been shut out since 2006. We need to all get together as NFL teams and be like, guys, we need to shut this man out more. Like, come on. Like, but I did appreciate the memes as always of what Tom Brady's afraid of. Eli Manning, Nick Foles, and now apparently this is the second time I think that Tampa Bay has lost to the Saints in regular season. Maybe it was last year or this year. And it said the regular season Saints. I love those memes like that because Eli always pops up because Eli Manning is Tom Brady's dad. So he will always take you down. So loved seeing that. But that's just a wild stat there. So in the amount of games that Tom Brady has played for two teams since 2006, this is the first time he's been shut out. Holy guacs. It's a lot. So good for you, New Orleans. Good for you. And then Las Vegas kicker Daniel Carlson kicked a game-winning 48 field goal as time expired to beat the Cleveland Browns. Another game that was kind of boring, but then got really exciting. And then it was near the end. And then that happened. So it was one of those.
That was an annoying one for me. Kate, I know we were split on this game. You got it right. I got it wrong. So that was one of my four wrong. And it happened on that 48-yard game-winning field goal, and I was like, I want another win on the tally there. So, but it was a good game.
A lot of like down to the wire games this past week, and that's what I said earlier. It's we're the end of the season. It's what you want to see. We want good football, people, as we go into the postseason. So I'm loving it.
Well, speaking of good football, end of the season, week 16 picks plus one lock and one upset. We give you our picks every single week. They are not based on money lines or anything like that. They're just straight up picks. And
well, I'm going to pop it up on screen, even though you made fun of the onesie. If you guys want your pics, follow this account on there. Okay, there you go. Make fun of the onesies all you want. But if you want free, basically free money, you can follow Daily Bread Media because they know the betting. We don't know the betting. The
onesies are fire. Don't hate them.
Yeah. And if you want to bet on our onesies, that'll make you money. Like, these are literally made of money. So,
This one's going to make you laugh, actually. My husband placed a bet today. Mm-hmm. Okay. He is convinced, and this is a bold, like, you know, when you have the article of like bold predictions, he's convinced that this game this weekend in week 16, Buffalo versus New England, mm-hmm. he believes that Buffalo is going to blow out New England so badly that Buffalo is going to bring in Mitchell Trubisky. And he placed a bet that Mitchell Trubisky will score a rushing touchdown in the game. He said, why the hell not? The odds against it are going to be insane. And if I get it right, it's going to be a lot of money. So that is my husband's bet. If people want to throw a dollar on it, that's what he's going with.
Well, I got to say that I'm bold prediction,
Cotton.
I am not, Cotton, I am not in that wheelhouse with your husband. I got to just say that is not where my mind is at this weekend.
I like how bold it is. I like how fun it is. Now I'm going to actually like legit hardcore pay attention to that game and see if Trubisky sneaks his way in there. But that could be a very Merry Christmas for us if it happens.
It could. Honestly, very much so.
I love it. All right. Well, why don't you kick us off first with your week 16 picks, a lock and an upset. And I will try to keep track, see how many we have that are the same.
All righty. So to kick it off already tomorrow, we've had so much football over the past couple of days. So going right into Thursday night. Starting off, I'm going with Tennessee and Christmas Day. I have Green Bay and the Colts, Detroit, Cincinnati, the Rams, the Patriots, the Jets, the Giants. I could not bring myself to pick the Eagles. I just really couldn't, Katie. I know you probably did. I physically could not highlight the word filled out. I really couldn't. So I'm going with the Giants on this one. God help me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Chargers, Seattle, Kansas City, Vegas, Dallas, and to wrap things up, Miami.
I think we have four different.
Okay. I feel like that's been like on average. I'll try to. Oh, and sorry. Am I
locking up this?
My lock is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Panthers. So don't worry, Bucs fans. People aren't giving up on you yet. Don't worry. Yes. Yeah. And my upset is the Detroit Lions over Atlanta. Let's go Lions. You know, end this season, you know, get a couple wins on your board. So you're already eliminated. Screw it. You know, let's go. I like it.
All right. Well, in week 16, I am going with San Fran, Green Bay, the Colts. I am going with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ah, I knew it.
The Rams, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, the Jets, Atlanta, the Chargers, Cincinnati, Seattle, Kansas City, Las Vegas, Dallas, and Miami. Four?
You're right. Four.
Four. Okay. Four. My lock? I didn't really think there were too many good locks. Kate, I almost went with yours with the Tampa Bay game. I ended up going with Green Bay over the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
My upset, and actually I did earlier today, even though I don't really know money lines too well, but my husband helped me. He was like, okay, this team is favored, so technically it's an upset.
I hate when they talk about that stuff. I'm like, I don't understand you.
I was like, how do I look up lines? And he's like, just put it into Google, like, and Google it. And then I showed him, I'm like, it literally is like reading Japanese for me. So I was like, I don't know what this means. Who's favored?
I'm constantly, and you'd think with, you know, Chris doing all of that stuff and like, oh, sorry, I don't know what his Twitter friends call him, but like doing all of the betting stuff, like literally like for real. And I'm just like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know what it means.
I don't, like, but don't ever listen to
us. Practically an upset. I think you picked them too, though. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts over the Arizona Cardinals.
It is. It technically is an upset. I went with that as well.
Yeah. I think Indy's making like a little strong push here towards the end of the season. Like, you know, they started off slow and I know like they, now they've got like them on Hard Knocks and you kind of see them like completely turn their season around. So could be a potentially dark horse, dangerous team in the playoffs this year.
What's that? Is that a song by Katy Perry? How does it go? What are the lyrics to that song? Oh my God.
Like a dark horse. I haven't heard that.
Oh my God. If anyone's watching, what the hell are the lyrics to Dark Horse by Katy Perry? I'm actually going to listen to the song. I just don't like that one part where it's like,
I don't even freaking know.
A perfect song, perfect song. That's it. That's the lyrics. But yeah. Oh my God. But so just some funny commentary on YouTube with us trusting Carson Wentz. We don't trust him. We trust the Colts.
Any means whatsoever.
And we've said that if you watch the show, we've never had trust in him.
I think the only thing stopping that team from like, they're going to be a playoff team.
Is Carson Wentz.
Ever stop them from like actually winning the whole entire thing is like, they got a squad on both sides. I don't like their quarterback.
So. No, he sucks. He's not good. So, so we'll see about that. All right. So let's bump over to Housewives. And hey, listen, you guys should watch this. I think you'd like it, but we're also, we're going to play a really fun game tonight. So definitely want to stick around with that. It's Christmas holiday theme. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and get into our quick stories. So we've got some quick hot topics for Housewives. We spoke about in a couple episodes ago that Kathy Hilton was in money disputes and may or may not return back for season 12 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Well, she is coming back as a friend of the cast and is going to make regular appearances. She is expected to film with the cast after the holidays. So I know Katie and I spoke about this. Like, I hope that, you know, she's getting more money and donating it or something. It's not like... she already makes so much money and she's freaking Kathy Hilton. Like, how much money do you need? So like the dispute was weird, but maybe she does, you know, do good things with it. So hopefully that's the case. So, but she's coming back, people. So I know she was a big fan favorite for Beverly Hills. So, so on the same story here with Beverly Hills, they are filming right now, but it actually has been suspended because Lisa Rinna, Erica Jane and Garcelle all have tested positive for COVID. As like the world has tested positive for COVID right now. So it is going around, as you know, I'm sure everyone watching right now knows someone with it. All the women have been vaccinated. So they all have mild symptoms. That is what we're hearing a lot around the world right now. So, So not surprised. I'm sure other things that are being filmed right now, we're going to hear that as well. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, NeNe Leakes was spotted with her new boyfriend. So obviously we did report that her husband, Greg, did die of colon cancer in September. So NeNe confirmed that they are dating and explained that Greg did give her his blessing to see other people. So, you know, it's always, I always don't want, like, I feel bad when people like speculate like bad things around it. You know, people do need to move on with their lives and they do need to.
I was kind of looking at like, I must have seen an Instagram post about it. And I was kind of like reading the comment section and certainly, you know, people had their thoughts about it, about moving on so quickly. But you know, there were a lot of people that were also commenting and said that grief knows no timeline. So everybody grieves differently. And I think that's like the most respectful response to that whole situation. And also, this is a man that battled cancer for a very long time. He was sick for a very long time. And so she was like, NeNe was almost more of like his caregiver than it was like, you know, they're a regular romantic relationship
between
husband and wife. Unfortunately, he was sick for a long time. And so for some people who are saying it might be really quick, like, well, she hasn't fully like had her husband in years, like who he was as a person. She was constantly saying it, like he's not himself anymore. Like he's not there. So, but again, I like the people's response to it that were more like positive, like no judgments. Everybody grieves differently and everybody's got like a different timeline.
Absolutely. So they had recently celebrated Nini's 54th birthday. Unfortunately, I cannot pronounce her boyfriend's name.
This is a hard one. This is a super hard one.
I don't even think I'm going to try here because I don't want to disrespect anyone.
Nioni Sella.
Sayo?
Sio? And then the last name, Sayo? Maybe even with the first name, the N might be silent and it might just be Yoni Sella or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's a very hard one.
Yeah. I think you did a good job. All right. Well, he is a businessman from Liberia and he owns a couture suit company in Charlotte. So they were actually set up by Cynthia Bailey's ex-husband, Peter Thomas. So all well wishes to Nini. I hope she is going through the grieving process as best as she can. And like you said, you know, there is no timeline for anyone. No one's, you know, life is the same. So she's doing what she's doing. She's, you know, moving on with her life. She's living her life. She's 54. Good for you, girl. You look phenomenal for 54. So obviously she's still young and she's going out and she's living it. So I wish her all the best. And I hope this is a good thing for her.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into our second big story of the week in the world of Housewives.
This is like the biggest story of the week of Housewives.
This story made my week. I mean, like,
it's every time I open up my phone, it's there. That's how you know you broke the internet. It's like when Kim Kardashian broke the internet, you saw that picture for like 3 weeks everywhere. Like literally this has broken the internet because every time I open up Instagram, boom, something about it.
I think this was Bravo's personal gift to all.
It was a Christmas gift, 100%. It was 100% a Christmas gift.
What we are referring to is our current favorite franchise, The Real Housewives of New Jersey. The season 12 trailer has officially dropped, people. And if you are a fan of The Housewives and you haven't seen it yet, you are living under a rock. It is hot news, hot commodity, hot off the press. You have to watch it.
Kanye drops something at midnight. Like, that's what we're waiting for, people.
I have watched it several times. And my reaction, even though I have watched it several times, my jaw has dropped every time, even though I know what I'm about to see and what I'm about to watch.
Again. Jaw drop, chills, kind of like you're like not breathing almost. Like,
it's truly amazing. So, we do have the premiere date. It is February 1st. We've got a little over a month. Can't wait to get to it. It's going to be amazing. Dean and I have to discuss some of the big things that we saw in this trailer. I think this was the biggest just in general, and also like the biggest shocker, unexpected. It kind of opens up with the discussion of Bill and Jennifer having issues in their marriage and the D word being dropped in this trailer. Jennifer basically saying like, I don't want to get a divorce. And there are a couple of different scenes. This isn't like one scene where she's having one conversation. They show throughout the trailer, like different conversations about her marital issues with Bill, which is very upsetting because now that I'm actually saying this right now, Kate, we definitely played a game on the show once, and it was probably like within the last year. And we were asked like who had the strongest marriage.
We said them.
Everybody in New Jersey. And we picked Bill and Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we're just like, we couldn't picture them getting divorced. Also think about like their religion and like how old school they are. Like clearly Jennifer's parents are extremely unhappy together, but they're not going to get divorced. And she was just like, that's not what happens. It's not what we do. The fact that they were like openly dropping the D word had me falling off my seat right from the get.
Chills right now talking about it.
I don't like it. Like I don't dislike Jen. I go back and forth. Like she has her moments where I'm like, wow, I really like her. This is a real genuine moment that she just had. And then she has moments where you're like, oh, Jennifer, like this is why when you first came on, I didn't really like you. Right. But I like them together. I really do. And I hope that it's not serious. I hope they can work through whatever issues they're going through. Certainly, they seem happy. Like, now, granted, this is like a tap, like on social media.
Right.
We pretend that they're fucking happy.
Right.
Everything's sunshine and rainbows. But they post together a lot. Yeah. And they appear on social media. They appear happy. So I don't know. So many different feuds. Okay. We've got
Dolores
versus Jackie. That one appears like it's going to get physical. They're this close to each
other. I know. I would never want to fight Dolores.
Dolores from Patterson is up in that girl's grill. She's ready to kick her ass.
I would be shitting my pants.
I don't know what it's over. We don't know what it's over. We don't get a clue into that or a hint into that. But that was that is going to potentially get physical. We have Margaret versus Teresa. This was the one that we knew. We've heard a lot of rumors about. We've read plenty of articles, and we have told you about it on the show. Seems to be stemming from the fact that Margaret is talking about, like, Teresa's new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You trust him. These are the stories I've heard about him. These are the things that are coming out. And Teresa's very much so, like, none of your business. Like, don't be, like, trashing
right.
my relationship and trashing my boyfriend. Understandable.
The same old bullshit.
Melissa and Jennifer, that one we see in the trailer gets physical.
It does. It does.
And that their feud has like been like, it's been simmering and then,
yeah.
you know, it's like that feud.
They're
that,
on and off. Yeah.
It's the feud that you forget about, but those two right. have pretty much never really truly been friends.
No.
There's always been that underlying, like they talk shit about each other in their interviews and I don't think they actually like each other. So at any moment, these two can pop off at each other. And
I wouldn't want to fight Melissa either because I think she's like scrappy. Like I could probably kick her ass. Like I probably could, but like she's definitely like she'll like probably like try to grab your eyeball. You know what I mean? With like her fake ass nail, she'll probably like try
to fight dirty.
Or like talon. She probably has like talon. She'll like come at you like that. Like me, like I would try to like. And I'm not confrontational.
That's physical. We can expect that one to be like the big, big blowout. And then this was one that I think second most shocking moment from the trailer. Gia versus her uncle Joe Gorga.
I love when the kids get involved and Gia's of the age now.
People really like this was almost like when I was reading all the commentary of people reacting to the trailer. This was a hot topic.
Yeah.
That everybody wanted to talk about. Basically, Gia like straight up confronts her uncle Joe Gorga about like, don't be talking shit about my dad.
Yep.
And you see Joe Gorga being like, you know, she looks at me like I'm the devil. Her mm-hmm. father's the devil. Her father's the one that did all of this.
Right.
And you can definitely see both sides of the argument. I mean, we love our dads. We would go to the end of the earth for them. We would battle anybody for our right. dad. So I get it, but at the same time, I also think about the fact like your father's a criminal and while he was gone
right.
and put your family through this, it was Joe Gorga who was there for your mother mm-hmm. and there for you and your sisters and really was the father figure in your
right.
household. And I think like they don't owe him anything, but at least respect him and, you know, you can respect his feelings about the situation. Like your father has caused your family a lot of suffering.
A lot of shit. And I get it. I think it's probably like, and probably what we'll see from it is like, I guess like probably the public facing like comments. Like if you're within that family and like Joe goes to Teresa and he's like, all right, your husband's a piece of shit. Your ex-husband's a piece of shit. Like, and Gia overheard it. Like that's kind of in between, like in family, like in discussions or like maybe they're sitting down. And it's like, Gia, this is what your dad did that was wrong. Like, let's talk about all this stuff. I think it's like the more public facing comments where the media asks him a question. And he's like, Joe, you know, Joe Giudice is a piece of shit or like things like that, where I'd be like, listen, like that is still my dad. Like that is still my father. Like, stop.
Like, you know what I mean? If you're going to talk shit, let's do it behind closed doors.
And with a family and it's our family. Like, let's. Yeah. So I think that's probably where it's coming from.
I understand that.
We'll
yeah.
see.
You can understand both sides of this argument. You really can, but it
Absolutely.
Is sad because I don't want to see those two.
No,
those two go at it. That's sad.
No. But I do. I gotta say, I love when the kids become of age and they get involved. I loved when Vicky's daughter came out and was like, Brooks lying about cancer, and like came in. I love when the kids are old enough and they can come in. I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for it.
Yeah. So A lot of feuds this season. I know, like, I feel like the New Jersey trailer in the past has always been like, they'll give you the drama and then the second half they show you all the fun times. I gotta be honest, I don't think it's even this year. I think there's a lot of drama.
Yeah. I think they tried to squeeze in like the good like stuff at the end, and there was like a 20 second.
Yeah, it's not as much as we're used to, you know, but there is a cast trip to Nashville, and it does include the husbands, which is great. Yeah. Because that's obviously like the bonus to this franchise is that everybody loves the husbands and the friendship that they all have. So I think we will see fun times on that trip that will hopefully be lighthearted. And then, of course, one of the other big things this season, we've all been waiting for it, is we finally get to meet Teresa's boyfriend. And really, it feels like we know all about their lives. And you like you forget that last season, she had just started dating him. So we only got like the tiniest little glimpse of him. And now they're engaged. And
I know.
We finally actually get to have an opinion on him. Because we'll get to see him like
finally
episode on camera this year. He said that nothing crazy. Like, I guess, you know, obviously the issues with Margaret and everything like that. And there is a clip where Melissa is kind of like, I don't know why Teresa always wants to keep everything hidden or everything secret. And I guess if that's about her keeping everything private with Louis, well, she had a very public public issue with her last husband. And as long as they're not hiding anything, you know, horrible,
they
have to keep things quiet and sort of private.
Exactly.
That's fine. But he seemed nothing crazy from the trailer. Nothing crazy. No. I was like watching him in certain clips when like they were all fighting and he seemed very calm, cool and collected, just sitting
there. Well, he was the one when Teresa throws a glass again, because you know she loves her, he cleans her like completely.
Like, okay. Cold. Like, yeah.
Like she like.
So like, I think she's
clotheslined her.
So. Well, that's how their dynamic works. That like she's the firecracker and he kind of cools her down. I think that's like a good balance that she needs. So
Definitely.
We're going to get to form opinions. I'm very excited.
Listen, I'm very excited as well. So we've got a lot to look forward to. Yeah. And listen, Housewives right now, in my opinion, is just on fire. So yeah, I'm ready for
loving
it.
It's been
I'm
good.
Loving it.
And New Jersey, definitely queen franchise right now.
Absolutely.
So can't wait. February 1st. We ready.
February 1st. 2-1, baby. Alrighty, so we are going to play a game right now. This is one of our favorite games. We've played it for so many different things. We've played it for football, housewives, anything. And tonight we are playing a Christmas edition of it. We are playing You Can Get With This or You Can Get With That. And like I just said, it is our Christmas edition. Da, da, da. So we are going through. So it's a two-parter of the game. Mm-hmm. So the first part is we're putting up movies, Christmas holiday movies, head to head with each other. And then we're just going to ask some traditional Christmas holiday questions. So there are 8 matchups that we have. So we'll just go through them one by one.
And if you were regrettably not with us for our last show, you will wonder why Home Alone is not on this list. We actually pitted Home Alone and Home Alone.
We did already.
On our last show, which one did we like better? So that is, and Caitlin went with the original. I went with 2. So we'll see if we agree on these next 8.
But
we
absolutely. And if you're watching live, please, please play along. And if you're listening to the podcast on demand, go ahead and DM us your answers if you're listening on demand. So the first one is Love Actually or The Holiday?
This was actually the hardest one on the list for me because I think it was like the most dead even. Mm-hmm. I went with The Holiday, and the only reason I went with The Holiday is because I love them both equally, but I've only just watched Love Actually for the first time like a year or two ago. Whereas I'm giving longevity and like the fact that I've been loyal to The Holiday for much longer. That's why I'm giving it the edge.
So I can't stop laughing because that is literally my same reason.
Really?
So I picked The Holiday.
The the holiday since it came out.
I literally just saw Love Actually for the first time, I think like 2 years ago. And
the amount of times that I've watched it since though is sickening.
It is sickening. But I like, it was one of those movies where like everyone always said it was their favorite holiday movie. And I'm like, what is this Love Actually? Like I've never seen it. And then it was on Netflix at the time. So I was like, let me watch it. I ended up, it's a very good movie. I do like it. I just love The Holiday. I think it's a great, great movie. We were talking actually about it at work the other day and some people had never seen it or some people were like, oh my God, I just wasn't thinking about that as a holiday movie. Duh, it's called The Holiday, but great concept, great like actors in it. Like that's why I love it too. So I'm going to go with The Holiday on that one, but literally the same reasoning.
That was such a hard one for me.
It is. Both great, great movies. All right, number two, A Christmas Story or The Grinch?
A Christmas Story actually used to be my favorite Christmas movie for a very long time, a lot so more when I was younger. And then you know how that one channel, I think it's TBS,
plays it
for like 48 hours straight. Yeah. I totally like got run down on that movie, and I have to go with The Grinch.
Yeah. I love The Grinch. I love the animated version. Yeah. I love the one with Jim Carrey. I've seen parts of like the new animated one. It's cute. It's funny. It's not the same like
the Jim Carrey one. I absolutely love.
I think it's on tonight actually. So it is Wednesday, December 22nd. I think it's on Freeform tonight. So I'll probably be watching that. But I do love it. I love the book. I love The Grinch. I think A Christmas Story is extremely overrated. I've seen, and I will admit, I've only seen it like chunks of it. So maybe I have to sit down and watch it from
damn times.
Maybe I need to watch it from start to finish. But what I've seen, people, it ain't good. So I don't know. And a lot of you are very obsessed with it for no reason. So
I like it. I don't think I've watched it in like the last 5+ years because it literally got so played out for me.
Yeah, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
So this one was a hard one for me, and I know one of your faves is on this one. So Christmas with the Cranks or Four Christmases?
Four Christmases is really underrated.
I love that movie.
Very, very underrated. But if you do ask me what my favorite Christmas movie is, it is Christmas with the Cranks. So this one was easy for me. You could have pit it up against anything. It is my favorite Christmas movie.
I went with Christmas with the Cranks too. I do love it. It is one of those movies that's literally always on in the background. Yeah. I literally last night there was like 100 things on TV and I scrolled and I saw Christmas with the Cranks was on and I put it on. And Katie, I think I've watched it 10 times in December.
You have to text me when it's on because normally it's on demand or on Netflix or whatever.
It's on Stars. It's on Stars all the time. Every night. Katie, I think I've watched it every night.
I didn't have Stars. God damn it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I haven't been able to watch Christmas with the Cranks this holiday season and it sucks.
I'm surprised it's not on Netflix. I feel like it's an easy one. Yeah. Well, it's been on Stars like every night. I'm sorry that you can't. I don't even know. It's not even like HBO Max where I can give you my password, but it's definitely a good one for sure. But I do love Four Christmases. It's a great,
underrated movie.
All right. Elf or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
The most controversial statement of the show. I have never seen Elf. I'm the only American that has not seen the movie Elf, but I really haven't. Caitlin knows I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan. It's kind of why I've never had an urge to watch it. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I've seen Christmas Vacation all the way through either, but I've definitely seen a large majority of it just in pieces and chunks. Mm-hmm. And what I have seen of it, I think it is good. So I by default, I have to go with that. I haven't seen Elf.
Well, I gotta say, Elf is a phenomenal movie. Christmas Vacation is actually my favorite Christmas movie.
I know
movie.
You love that one.
Yes, I love it. I think it makes more sense to me now that I'm a lot older. It's a really good movie. It's another movie I've watched 100 times in December so far. So I am going with Christmas Vacation. I love it. So
okay,
but I do love Elf though, and you should give it a chance.
Okay.
All right, number five, The Santa Claus or Jingle All the Way? This was hard for me.
These were totally like Caitlin and I being like 90s kids. These were like two of the really big movies. Like they bring back that like, you know, sentimental factor of like watching when we were little kids. So I like both of them. and it was a little bit hard, I am going to give a slight edge to Jingle All the Way.
Mm-hmm. I do love Jingle All the Way. It is a good one. And I think it's also another underrated one. It's not on TV much, like, I don't think. I love the Santa Claus, though, in this battle, this matchup. Mm-hmm. I think, but the Santa Claus, it definitely is one of those movies, too, where it kind of gets, I think it's been on TV every day, so it gets kind of old. But there's certain parts of it that I absolutely love. So
yeah.
Going with the Santa Claus on this one.
That was a hard one. That was very close.
Yeah. All right, number six, The Polar Express or Jack Frost?
It's been a hot minute since I've watched Jack Frost.
I also need to, like, let our audience know that the beginning of Jack Frost is probably the saddest movie ever. So,
Yes. I haven't seen Jack Frost in a very long time, but I do definitely remember liking it a lot. I really like the music in The Polar Express and just, like, the vibe. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
I like The Polar Express. I'm giving it to...
Me too. I love The Polar Express. The Polar Express was a book first, and I always loved reading the book during, like, Christmas time. Like, I remember, you know, when we were, like, in, like, Grandview and Gould's, like, if we were reading before, like, a holiday break, that was always the book that, like, a teacher was reading, a parent came in to read, like, that was always the book. And then they made it a movie, and I was like, oh my God. I would have to say, like, the characters are kind of creepy looking in a little bit, but you're right, the music is so good. I cry every time I hear Believe by Josh Groban. Like, I can't, I'm like crying thinking about it right now. But yes, love The Polar Express, very good movie. And then, yeah, with Jack Frost, it's a good movie, but I gotta tell you, the beginning part of it, it's, like, soul crushing. Like, it literally wants to, like, end your life. So I'm not a fan of movies like that.
Yeah.
All right, this one's a good one because it's a good comedy set right here. Bad Santa or Just Friends?
So I don't think I've seen Bad Santa, to be honest with you.
It's okay.
That's another one I haven't seen. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter because this is another one where you could have pitted Just Friends against most of these, and I would have picked Just Friends. That is on Netflix, and I have been watching it nonstop for the last couple of months, to be honest with you. It's one of mine and Caitlin's favorites. Caitlin, I think there's been times in the past where you said it's, like, your favorite movie just in general.
Yeah. So Just Friends is one of my all-time favorite
movies. It's so good.
It is hilarious. Like, I've loved Just Friends since college. Like, it has been one of my, it's not, like, my all-time favorite, but, like,
it's up there though.
It's such a quotable movie. That's why I love it. And, like, Katie and I were talking about it, like, a week or two ago. It's one of those movies where every time you watch it, something new sticks out to you. And I gotta say, I think I've seen it 1,000 times. Like, I'm not even lying. Like, I think I've seen it upward to 1,000 times. And there's always a new thing that comes out that makes me, like, pee my pants. Like, it is the funniest movie ever. So I love it. And it is a Christmas spin. Like, there definitely is on it. So Bad Santa is good too. It's another really funny movie, but Just Friends is, oh my God, it's a fucking classic.
So good.
Speaking of classics, we're going to round out this group with two all-time classics here, A Charlie Brown Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay, these I probably have not seen in many, many, many years. I'm going with what seems more vintage, more classic, more just, like, I don't know, gives you that feel good vibe. I'm going Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, I'm going with Rudolph too. And Rudolph is one I, like, have to watch every Christmas. Like, I feel like it isn't, and it's always, like, I know I missed it already. It was the night that you had us all over for girls' night. They were playing it on, like, CBS because they always air it, like, premiere, like, every Christmas. And I always love to watch it, but it's on, like, I think it's on, like, AMC. So I'll have to watch it, but I feel like that makes Christmas for me. I love watching Rudolph. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw, the Peanuts one. So I feel like the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown is more common than the Christmas one. So I couldn't tell you, but I love Rudolph. I love it. They're so cute, those little puppets. So Alrighty, so those were our movies that we paired up. If you guys obviously, you know, want to give your thoughts, let us know. But we do have also three questions as well in regards to the Christmas and the holidays. So what is your favorite Christmas song?
I used to, way back in the day when I was in college, I had a college job working at a liquor store. And as soon as Thanksgiving was over, it was Christmas music 24/7. Every time you were there, it always played. And there was one song that I had never heard before, and I've loved ever since. It's called "Donde Está Santa Claus."
Oh my God, you do love that song.
It's by Augie Rios, and I swear to God, it is the best song. It is a hidden gem that I
Mamacita. Feel like
people don't know about, but it just brings me so much joy.
It is,
and I love to sing along to it. It's a great one. "Donde Está Santa Claus?"
Mamacita. Donde es Santa Claus? It's Christmas Eve.
It's so good. It's
good
so
song. Good. It is a good song.
Well, by the way, everybody, and Kayla and I were just talking about this earlier. If you want to follow me on the Spotify,
the Spoots,
Kay Gagliardi, I have a great Christmas playlist, and that, of course, is on there. So
it's
you're welcome if you want to check out
that. It's a good playlist. It's a good playlist for sure. Mine is definitely I want a hippopotamus for Christmas because it just like, I mean, I'm like holding a hippo right now. Like I just have them like all around the house. So like that is my favorite animal. If you guys did not know, it's a weird obsession of mine. Like literally like Katie and her husband brought me back one from Thailand and it's like my favorite thing ever. It's like a wooden carved hippopotamus. Like that, the fact that you guys found one, it's like the best thing ever. Like I love them. Like they're all around my house. Like I have like a million ornaments on my tree that are hippos. Some of them actually sing the song.
Yes.
So I love the fact that, and I think I became obsessed with hippos and then someone like told me that was a song and I was like, no, it's not. Like, I didn't know that was a song when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then like, I found out, I was like, no way. But it's a really old, it's a really old song. Like really, really old. Like there's like a, it's not like a music video, but like, it's almost like Shirley Temple, like sang the song when she was younger. Like it's such an old song. So like, I never heard of it. And then like, I became obsessed with hippos and heard it. And I was like, this is the best thing ever.
It's on the Spotify playlist, everybody.
It's a very good one. But I must say like, that's like, I guess if you're thinking more traditional, I do love Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. That's like another classic for me. And that gets me literally rocking around the Christmas tree. I do like that. So
I love Christmas music. I'm one of those people that like, when I was working in college, like at the, you know, doing retail and whatever, and hearing that 24/7, I was the one that was all for it. I was like, if we did this year round, I would be here for it.
I agree. Alrighty. What is your favorite ornament you own?
This is hard. I have a lot of good ones, but definitely like our fans of the Real Football Fans of New Jersey would appreciate this one. I have a really, really amazing Countess Luann ornament. I got it from an Etsy shop. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the Etsy shop, but it is an ornament of Luann in her white bathrobe with the sunglasses, and it says, "Don't be uncool."
Too good.
You know, to go with the theme of our show, but also legitimately my favorite ornament, it is Queen Luann.
Yeah, mine is in theme with our show too. And I love all of my ornaments. Like my family's always been the one that has like the cool, like toy looking ornaments. Like we don't have a lot of like balls on our tree. They're like little things you can like play with. So I've always loved that. But I actually recently got, well, it's not recently. I probably got it a couple of years ago. I inherited a New York Giants vintage ornament from my grandma. So my grandma passed away around 9 years ago and we got a bunch of stuff from her and a lot of it was old ornaments. So my sister and I looked through and we both like got some good, good Giants ones. You can't see it on my tree. Yeah, you can't see it on my tree right now, but in the pictures that I've posted on my tree, it is front and center. It's right next to the Roll Tide one that you got me, which is a great one. But it's an old Giants like vintage helmet ornament. It's really good, and just the fact that I got it from my grandma, who is a huge Giants fan, I just love it. So now it sits the front of my tree, so I love it.
Tell the people about your new Housewives ornament.
My brand new ornament this year, and I absolutely adore it. It's a great addition to my tree. It's like right like on like the center, like right where my couch is facing, so I see it every day. It is the Bethany mention it all ornament. So her legs are, I can't put my legs up this high because I'm standing, but she's mentioning it all on the ornament. It is perfect. It is spot on. I absolutely love it. Katie is a great gift giver. She's also a great ornament giver. So she's giving me that one. And I mentioned the Alabama one she gave me. It's a license plate that says Roll Tide on it. So great, great ornament giver as well. So
gotta love a good ornament.
Absolutely. And then what will be your go-to drink at Christmas this year?
I've been spritzing lately. I like my apple.
Oh, she's a spritzer.
I'm a spritzy lady.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with white wine. I mean, I am going, so I usually go to my parents, so I'm actually going to my brother and sister-in-law's this year. So I don't know if they'll have like a drink maybe. So like maybe I'll be enticed to try something new, but white wine's my go-to. It's easy. So maybe eggnog, maybe I'll bring an eggnog. Maybe that'll be my contribution, but definitely probably white wine. So
all right, all right, all right.
That was a good game. That was a good one.
It was. It is now the point in the night where we get it off our chest. Positive, negative, housewives, football, life, wine, Christmas, New Year's Eve. That's around the corner.
It is.
Playoffs, anything that comes to mind. Kate, why don't you go first?
I'm so excited. Christmas is 3 days away. We made it, people. It is one of my favorite holidays. I am pumped, but mine is short and sweet and to the point, but I'm caught up with Salt Lake City. I know I was playing catch up with Katie this whole time, but I'm back, baby. I'm back. I am back and I'm caught up in holy guacs, people. This is a phenomenal franchise, and we have to give all credit where credit is due. They are bringing the fire. As much as we are excited for New Jersey in February, and I'm loving Orange County right now, Salt Lake City is delivering on their second season. It is crazy. It's one of those, it's like giving me anxiety. These fights are insane, but I just have to say, like, I'm back. But listen, we spoke a lot about how we hate Jen. I think my hate is turning towards Mary, and I'm really questioning who she thinks she is in this world. And these ladies are giving me a little bit of heart palpitations every time I watch. So, but yeah. I'm ready. I'm back. And holy shit, I don't know how many episodes are left, but we got it. Let's do this. I'm ready.
Yeah. It's funny because I was so ahead of you and you were playing catch up, and now you're ahead of me and I have to play catch up. And I know like where I had left off and you weren't there yet. I was like, I was like, as much as like Jen might be my most hated housewife, like across the board, Mary's coming up quickly. And so the fact that you're fully caught up and it apparently only gets worse, it's going to be a real question, I guess, at the end of the season, who we hate more. But they could potentially, I guess, the two of them, we might have two of the most hated of all time franchise right there, taking over a franchise. So it has been really good. I need to catch up. And you're right. The ladies are bringing it. So
they're bringing it, bringing the heat.
Phenomenal franchise for sure. I couldn't really think of get it off my chest tonight, but I just want to, you know, wish everybody a Merry Christmas. If you do celebrate Christmas, again, Kate said at the beginning of the show, whatever you celebrate, celebrate your health at this point. Everybody stay healthy, stay safe, make good decisions. You know, times are getting a little tough right now, but just try and do the best we can. Everybody across the board, and hope everybody does well. And we will see you before 2022. We will catch you next week, right before the new year. Looking forward to rounding out 2021 with you guys, and looking forward to another great year of the Real Football Fans of New Jersey in 2022. And we are 15 episodes away from 200. So I know that's going to be a big thing in 2022 for us. And I can't wait.
Yeah. So everyone stay healthy, because we want to celebrate 200. Yes. Episodes with you guys in person. The good news is you guys can always watch me and Katie in the comfort of your own home and be safe.
Yes.
You don't have to go anywhere. You can always listen to us on demand. You can watch us. We're always here. We're safe in our own home. So you guys can do that. Can be a fun activity for you guys week after week. But yes, please stay healthy. Have fun with your family and friends. Just make smart decisions, because again, we do want to make it to 200 episodes in 2022. We want to make it with all of you guys in person. Yeah. So let's make some smart decisions. And so just to, you know, get some, you know, dates and shows on your calendars. The Real Housewives of Orange County is back in full swing. Like I said, I'm loving it right now. It is on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. So if you're watching live right now, you got a couple hours. Real Housewives of Atlanta is still on Sundays at 8 p.m. So is Salt Lake City, but they're on at 9 p.m. on Sundays. The NFL this week, we've got Thursday Night Football, San Francisco at the Tennessee Titans. Saturday, we've got two Christmas games, Cleveland at Green Bay, and the Colts are at the Arizona Cardinals. And then Sunday Night Football is Washington at Dallas. So you got a divisional matchup there. And tonight, It is December 22nd at 8 p.m. So in 20 minutes, if you're watching us live, the 2022 Pro Bowl roster will be revealed on NFL Network. So I'm looking forward to seeing who's on there. I think for the Giants, I think the most probably Xavier McKinney will maybe make it. So that's probably the only person, or maybe Graham Gano. We'll see. Those are probably the only two guys that I'm really thinking. But let's see who's going to make the Pro Bowl. So
I'd be happy with just anybody, because there's been, you know, it's been dark times for the Giants over the last 2 years, and there have been a couple of seasons here where we have sent no one. So
I know,
fingers crossed for at least one.
At least one person. But as always, thank you guys for hopping in live with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you are listening to us via the podcast, thank you as always. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. So go ahead and follow us on all of our accounts. And our podcast is on all of your favorite outlets, Apple Podcasts, the Spotify, anywhere where you get podcasts. Go ahead and listen to subscribe at The Real Football Fans of New Jersey. And thank you guys, as always. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We'll see you before the new year. But if you don't catch us before then, we wish you a happy new year as well. And just, it's a happy time, people. So we wish you all of the happiness and health right now. So
absolutely.
Good night. We will catch you next time. Good night.